We're about to embark on a really significant time in the history of our fellowship. We're about to consider calling a second worker to work here in Letterkenny and in Milford. But, as I was saying earlier in the service, we're doing something that's even more significant than that. We're coming to the next stage in the life of the congregation here. We came here, we planted this church, we saw it grow. A couple of years ago we became a congregation, and now we're at the stage where we're looking to appoint our own elders. Maybe you're thinking, sure we have elders, we've got Robert and Colin and William Lynch. They were appointed by Presbytery to provide oversight when we had no elders of our own. And it so happened that Robert and Colin are part of the fellowship here. Sometimes it can be the case in church planting that men are sent from other congregations to provide that oversight. We happen to have the two of the men here on the ground. But for things to be done right and proper in God's way, the fellowship need to look at appointing our own elders. And that's not simply an exercise in rubber stamping Robert and Colin, because as a session, we've been praying about this, and we believe that there's more men in the fellowship that could step into the role of elder than simply Robert and Colin. And that's why we're going to take time over the next number of weeks and to think and to consider what God's Word says about this important leadership in the church. It's important because it has consequences for you, it has consequences for your children, it has consequences even for your children's children, it has consequences for our town and our county. It's really significant. Elders don't often get called away. Ministers regularly get called away. And so elders provide that continuity of rule and leadership and guidance across perhaps a number of different ministers, or through a vacancy, or when there is no minister. And so they're a key part of the rule of the church. And it's important that we choose the right men. So we're going to take the next 4 weeks or so to look at what the Bible has to say. As I said earlier, it's going to be a little different from our usual sermons, but it's really important that we understand how the church works. And when it comes to listening to these sermons, you might find yourself coming to church and thinking, well, I've had a really tough week and I'm really worried about something, or I'm bothered about this, and hearing a sermon about the eldership isn't quite what I need to hear. But let me say two things. One is, this is how Jesus puts care in place for you. And so every week, as you come and listen, be reminding yourself, this is my Saviour's way of caring for me. He's putting men in place who will care, who will look out for me, who will bring God's Word into my life, who will help me. So every week, be reassured that your Saviour cares deeply for you. But not only that, we're going to shape each of the next number of weeks so that the first part of the service, as it was this morning, is aimed at bringing God's comforting Word into our lives as we sing and as we pray and as we read, so that we'll find our souls fed and strengthened for the circumstances we find ourselves in. And as you listen, listen and be thinking and praying, and be going from here praying, Lord, will you guide us to the right men? Will you guide us to the men that you would have to lead this church? And if you're a Christian man here, you should be praying, Lord, make me like this. Make me like one of these men. Because Paul tells Timothy that anyone who desires the task of an elder, the office of an elder, desires a noble thing. It is a high goal to set your sights on, and pray that God will make you into a man like this that could be used in the leadership of his church. And if somebody's here and they're not yet a Christian, what is there for them? Well, I think it seems a strange thing to be preaching on people who could come in here who are needing to hear the gospel, but they also need to hear that in coming to Jesus and coming into Jesus' church and Jesus' family, that Jesus has care put in place for them. There are too many times when the world uses power and authority to abuse people. And there have been too many times in the church where the church has abused its power and authority and hurt people. And very often that happens when the church is not run God's way. And so people need to see how Jesus would have his church run, so they can see, yes, this Jesus does care for me. I could put my trust in him. We're going to look this morning at the importance, next week, God willing, at the work of the elder. The week following that, God willing, on the characteristics or the qualifications that God looks for in the men who would lead his church. And then a couple of weeks after that, after our church weekend, remember it's the weekend of the 15th of June, keep that in your diaries. After that, we will look at our responsibilities. And then, God willing, on the 22nd of June, or maybe the 29th, we'll finalise the date, we will have our election of elders. Men then who are elected by the congregation will be given time to think and pray and to seek God's will whether they should take this on. Sometime after that we will have a service of ordination and installation to appoint these men to this office. So this morning we're looking at the importance of the role of the elder. And we're going to look at two things that show its importance. First of all, the purpose, and then the origin. And the purpose of the elder. And really, you could sum it up in one sentence: for the good of God's people. Elders are for the good of God's people. That's what they're here for. Why? Why do we need elders? Why not just have one man in charge? One man up the front who does the teaching, one man who rules, one man who says what's what, and that's it. Well, because Jesus loves his church too much to let one man do that. Why is it that Paul and Barnabas are keen to appoint elders in each of the places where they've established the church? So keen, in fact, you'll remember that they travelled through the towns of Iconium, Lystra and Derbe. They got chased out, they got stoned and left for dead. And then they turned back, instead of going the short distance back to Tarsus, they went back through those towns, facing the threat of death again. Why did they do it? To appoint elders. That's how important they viewed it. Why? Why does Paul write to Titus and tell him, I left you in Crete, and appoint elders in every town? Really important this, but why? It's because Jesus loves his church. In Acts 20:28, Paul speaks to the Ephesian elders and he says, be shepherds of the church of God which he bought with his own blood. Christ redeemed you, not so that you could simply be an individual in his who goes to heaven, but that you could be a part of his family. And he cares so much for his family that he doesn't want it ruled badly. And so elders are for the good of God's people. We see that in three ways, in three areas. They're there for the growth and care of the church. For the growth and care of the church. In Exodus 18, we read about Moses. Moses, looking after a horde of people, is exhausted. He's on the brink of a collapse, a breakdown, of burnout. He's burdened by all their needs. And his father-in-law says to him, Moses, what are you doing? Divide up the work. And he gets Moses to appoint elders. He tells him, this seems to me a good idea, but make sure that it comes from God. Seek God's will on it. And then appoint these men to relieve you of the burden, to help provide oversight, direction, wisdom, clarity, strength. It's for the good of the people. Jethro said to Moses that it's not good. He says that you and these people who are coming to you will only wear yourselves out. And he speaks also in the passage, verse 23, that if he puts this into place, it'll be good for Moses and good for the people. They will go home satisfied. So it's for the growth and care of the church that God gives to the church, not just one man to lead, but a group of men to reinforce the word that's been preached, to provide leading and guiding. We're going to look next week, God willing, at how elders and their duties are like a shepherd. So we'll not cover too much of that this morning, but that's what they do. They feed, they lead, they guide, they nourish, they nurse, they chase off the wolves, they seek to protect God's people. You know, in our history of our church, elders have played a really significant part. In the 1600s and the 1700s, there was a period when it was illegal to worship, to meet for worship, because the Reformed Presbyterian Church wasn't the official church that the king had set up. And if you were wanting Jesus to be head of the church and not the king to be head of the church, the king hunted you down. And so the Covenanters, as they were called back then, they couldn't meet in church buildings, but they weren't going to stop meeting. And they would meet in secret. They would meet in fields and on hillsides, away out in moors where people couldn't find them, and they would meet, and their ministers got hunted down, their ministers got executed, burned at the stake, hung, tortured. And there was a time for about 60 years where the RP Church in Ireland had no ministers, and in large parts of Scotland too had no ministers. And that during that time when it had no ministers, because they were keeping on being arrested and executed, imprisoned, deported, the church thrived. How did it thrive? Because there were godly men, the elders, who would gather the people together in groups, and they would gather them in what they called societies. They would gather them, the people that, if it was here, they would gather the people that live in Letterkenny together. They would gather the people that live in Convoy together. They would gather the people in Remelton together and the people in Milford. And there would be a little society in Milford, Remelton, Convoy, Letterkenny. And they would gather them and they would come and they would teach them. And they would train them and they would disciple them. And they would counsel them. And they would visit them and they would comfort them. And these godly heroes used their gifts and their abilities for the care and the growth of the church. These men of great godliness, of the word of God, of compassion and faithfulness, did this, and the church flourished. That's why God gives these sorts of leaders. I remember doing a thing one night at boys' camp where a fellow from an organization, Release International, was putting on an evening for us, and they work with the persecuted church. And they had it set up as if we were a church being persecuted, and we were meeting in secret in a room in the place where we were staying, and in burst three guys dressed in combat gear and face masks on, and started shouting at us. And one of them said, "That's the leader there." And I was grabbed and manhandled out of the room. And then Michael stood up and Michael said, "Now, who's going to take over? Who's going to take over now that the pastor's gone? Who's going to lead this group? And then who's going to lead that group when that person's taken away?" And what it underlined for me what happened back in our history whenever the elders were that God had in place, men who were capable and godly and able to rule and lead. It's for the growth and care of the church, because Jesus loves his people. The second purpose is because leaders are sinners too. The minister, me, I'm a sinner. And I stand at the front and I'm not perfect. And if I am to... If the church is to be led solely by a single individual who is a sinful individual, they're going to have blind spots, they're going to have biases, they're going to have weakness, they're going to lack wisdom. And again, King Jesus loves his church too much to let that be the case. He won't let that happen. And he puts checks and balances in place. Who is it's going to correct the leader? Well, Jesus says in his word, there isn't one leader. In the Bible, one man rule has no place in the church. He says it'll be a team. A team of men that have already displayed godliness. They're not perfect, but I'm working in them by my Holy Spirit. And because they're picked by the people and they don't get to pick their own favourites, because if you get to pick your own favourites, then you pick people exactly like you, who will have the same blind spots as you've got, the same biases you've got, the same favouritism that you've got. No, the people pick the elders. They look at God's word. They look at the men. They say, these are the men that match the word of God. And Jesus is saying that we do it this way because it allows our the weaknesses of one to be met with the strengths of another, so that in God's church there are checks and balances, and where one man has weaknesses or blind spots, his elders are there to advise, to correct, to challenge, to rebuke. And that's why Paul keeps on saying, appoint elders, plural, not simply one. Not simply one man in charge. So, God says elders, because leaders are sinful, and if you have one man leading the show, it will go wrong, because he's a sinner. You need to have a group of men that Christ is working in, whose weaknesses are matched by strengths in others, whose flaws are matched by grace in others, for the safety and welfare of the church. And the third thing, the third purpose, is to rule for God. To rule for God. In 1 Peter 5, we're told that that the church, or the elders, are to rule the flock that is God's flock under their care. It's under our care. The elders are men who meet God's requirement for ruling in God's church, and they rule for God. The elder's not like a TD who represents the people and who takes their case and takes their side and does everything on their behalf. The elder, rather, is Christ's representative to the people. The elder represents Christ the King. He carries out the King's instruction. He rules with Christ's rules, not simply his own opinion. And that's important. I was hearing about a church in Galway, not our own, but a church in Galway where the minister was preaching. And some man just got up and said, "That's enough of that today. We don't need to hear that sort of a sermon. I'm going to tell you now a word from the Lord." I think if that happened here, Robert and Colin would be on their feet to take that and say, "No, you sit down. It's not your opinion that counts here. It's God's opinion. And we're to rule, the elders rule according to God's word and carry out his instruction. The elders bring God's care to the congregation. The elders are, as it were, God's hands and eyes and ears and mouthpiece on earth, to bring God's care to the people. The elders bring God's leading to the congregation. And the elders have the great privilege of exercising authority. That's a privilege and it's a responsibility. And they have the privilege of looking at the people that come and say, we have put our trust in Jesus. And they have the privilege of saying to those people, measuring what they say against the word of God and saying, "Yes, before God, we think that you are a Christian. And we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And we welcome you into the membership of the church. And we bring you to the Lord's table because before God, we believe that you are one of God's family." The other side of that is that the elders also have the responsibility of saying to someone, "Well, no, you may think you're a Christian, but what you've told us doesn't match up with God's word. And Because we love you, we can't allow you to consider yourself a Christian. We can't allow you to come into the church and to be baptized and be a member and come to the Lord's table because we don't think you're there yet. We don't think you're there. We urge you to go away and to ask Christ to be your Savior. We urge you to keep coming to church and ask Christ to be your Savior and to give your life to Christ. Or to say to a Christian, oh, my brother and sister in Christ, you're erring in your ways. You're going down pathways you shouldn't go. And God would say to you, don't go that way. And we as God's representatives call you back from that. And the elders have the responsibility of exercising God's rule here in the church. That's the purpose that God gives to the elder. And that means that as we come to elect elders, we need to choose not weak men, not yes men, not power hungry men, not men who show favoritism, but men who fear God and who love God's people and who seek to serve God. So that's the purpose. The purpose, it's for the good of God's people. That brings us to our second point, the origin. If it's the purpose is for the good of God's people, the origin is from the hand of God. From God's hand. For the good of God's people, from the hand of God. Where does this idea of elders come from? Well, every society has its elders. Simply the older people in the society who are looked up to for wisdom and leadership and experience. Well, has the Bible and the church simply borrowed that idea? No, it hasn't. We read from Exodus 18 where Jethro gives good advice to Moses. And Moses takes that advice, but first he seeks God's will. Verse 23, if you do this and God so commands. That's an important line. But as we read the book of Exodus, if we go back, were to go back to chapter 3, we would find that Moses is sent to the people of Israel in Egypt and he's told to gather the elders of the people together. So already in Israel, there were men who were looked up to for wisdom and guidance and advice, and they were the leaders of the community. But now in chapter 18, God is taking some of the leaders of society and he's taking some of them and he's making them leaders in the people of God, the church. And from this point on, God's people are ruled by elders, by a body of men. Yes, they will have kings over them at various times and judges, and they are illustrations to us that the people of God are ultimately ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ, but Christ has his men on the ground, men like Moses and Joshua, men in the New Testament like Peter and John and Paul, men who were elders in the people of God. Two things that we want to see here. Elders are given by God. The office is God's idea and God's gift to the church. And the men who fill it are given by God. In Ephesians 4:11, Paul tells us that Christ himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. The word pastor, although it's applied often to the guy at the front who's preaching, is rightly applied to every elder, because the word pastor simply means shepherd. And Paul and Peter are forever addressing the elders as shepherds. So it is Jesus who gives some to be shepherd teachers. It's Jesus who gives them to the church. And Jesus has equipped and given men to our fellowship here and to the church. And we need to look and we need to recognize the gift that he gives. You know, whenever somebody gives you a gift and says, I've put a lot of thought into this, I've looked at your life, and I think this is just the right thing for you, and I'm giving this to you because I love you. Well, the wrong response is to say thanks and to stick it in the cupboard below the stairs. And There are churches who do that. They insist on going down the road of having one man up the front in charge. And they ignore the fact that God has given to them elders in their church, or men who would fill that office and be of benefit to the church. And we want to recognize the gifts that God has given to men and the qualities He's given to them. And our task as a fellowship is to discern the men that God has been making elders, given by God. And we'll come to the qualifications that God has in a couple of weeks' time. He has qualifications, but not just given by God, answerable to God. Answerable to God. The elders are chosen by the people of God. God's people hold up God's word. They look at a man's life and they put the two together and they say, yes, this man matches the criteria laid down in God's word. But as I've said a minute ago, elders are not like politicians who are in many ways answerable to the people for how they carry out their business. The elder is answerable to God. And the great privilege of authority has a sobering balance. In Hebrews 13:17, the writer is urging the people to follow and to submit to their leaders and to make their job of ruling a joy for them. And then he says that these are men who must give an account. What sobering words. Each person here will have to give an account on the day of judgment for how they've lived, for what they've done with Jesus, for how they've obeyed Jesus, for how they've spoken to people, how they've thought, how they've, their emotions, for their actions. We'll have to give an account. That's sobering enough. But elders will have to give an account for how they've ruled in Jesus' church, in Jesus' name. Every decision that they've made, Christ will require a reckoning. The people that they've brought into membership, the people that they didn't care enough for, the people that they didn't discipline, the people that they didn't pursue after and urge them harder to come and bring their lives into line with God's word. Christ will say, I made you my representatives and gave you authority. What have you done with it? What have you done with it? What a sobering reality check for all of us who have held or hold the office of elder. There are times that elders may have to make hard decisions. And sometimes people in churches don't like those decisions that are made. You need to remember that these men are less concerned what people think and more concerned about that moment when they will stand before the great judge on that final day, and they're more concerned about what the judge thinks, to whom they will have to give an account for everything they've done as his ambassadors and his shepherds in his church that he bought with his blood. And that should be greatly reassuring for God's people. Whenever you look for godly men who are going to be put into a position of leadership in the church, you want them to be men who fear God more than they fear you. And then you will know that they will do their utmost to provide the best care for you. But the flip side of the coin, too, lest any would-be elder feels, no, not for me. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:4, whilst there's the sobering reality of giving an account, there's also the wonderful privilege of the King's reward for his people and the crown that is kept in store for those who have ruled and ruled well in Christ's family. So here's the purpose. It's for the good of God's people. Here is the origin. It's from the hand of God. And as we come to think about this whole topic, I want us to see it as a measure of our Saviour's love for you as the individual Christian. You are not alone in this world. No, He has placed you in a family. But in this family, He has provided good and godly leaders to help with those who are young in the faith, to help with those who are wandering in their faith, to help with those who are coming to the end of their journey in this life, to provide comfort and help, to guard this family so that those who are would come in like wolves to destroy and to hurt, that they will be kept out and the family will be protected. Here's a measure of our Saviour's love for His people. Here we see the importance. God has given this office to the church. It's important because of who has given it. It's important because who has cared for. The Saviour went to the cross for you. The Holy Spirit has come to you. And Christ, who has given the Holy Spirit, also gives godly men to provide leadership and care in His church. Let me finish with some applications. Oh, how we should be thankful to our Saviour that He would provide care for His church here on the ground. How we should pray for the right men to be elected in our fellowship. How we should pray for the men who are currently serving as interim elders, elders in that interim space between us becoming a congregation and us having our own elders chosen and elected. How we should pray for our elders. Let me make another application. Same as I made at the start. All men should be aiming for this. Not all men may become elders, but there is nothing in the criteria, the qualifications for an elder, that any man should not be aiming at. They are great and good characteristics to aim for. You should be saying, Lord, make me like this. Are you here this morning, weary and burdened and struggling? Well, be encouraged that you have a Saviour who cares deeply for you and will provide all that you need. He provides it Himself. He provides it through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and also provides it by providing leaders in His church to be your pastors, to be your shepherd, to provide help for you in time of need. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for our Saviour Jesus, and we thank that He is King and Head of the Church. We thank You that He provides leadership in the church for the good of His people because He loves His people so much. And Father, we pray that You would help us as a fellowship as we consider this next and good step in our life as a church. As we seek to elect elders, we pray You would guide us to the man whom You have been working in and shaping. We pray that You would enable us to choose well. And we pray, Lord God, that You would not just give us elders at this stage, but every other stage in the future as we grow and as we look for more men. Maybe there's men who are not yet ready for the eldership, but in a few years' time they will be ready. If under Your grace they have grown and we have grown as a church to need more, we pray that You would be creating and developing men for the leadership of this church on down through the years to come. And Father, we pray that You would be providing for us in this way. We pray, Lord God, once again for Your people here this morning who are wearied and burdened by the difficulties that life has brought to them. And we pray that even in thinking of this aspect of their Saviour's care, that they would see that they have a Saviour who cares and who thinks ahead and who covers all the bases and who has their welfare catered for at every turn. And Father, I pray that they would know the immediacy of the Saviour's care at the turns they're at in these particular moments. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.